This is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. All it is, living in the new world with an whole soul. These rich men north, the rich men, Lord knows it all, just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end. Politicians look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the whole beast milking welfare. So God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. All it is, living in the new world with an whole soul. These rich men know the rich men, Lord knows they all just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end. Cause the rich men know the rich men. Selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of The Story Behind the Story. I'm your host, Dr. Ray Truat. Yeah, golly, had to fight a blizzard today. I don't know where my co-hosts are, whether it's Barbados or wherever they are. I wish them the best, because they probably have some sunshine down there. I it's a pretty nasty blizzard, but I made it through. Came back okay. The roads were clear. The snowplows have been out. It's that time of year in the Intermountain West, in the mountains of Utah. But be that as it may, I'm back in the saddle again, and again, this is The Story Behind the Story. I'm your host, Dr. Ray Truat, and this is Revolution Radio. And absolutely no ads on this show, and that's amazing. If you are a host and a guest, nothing worse, in my opinion, only having 10 to 20 minutes of airtime than having to break for a commercial. Number of problems with that. Anyway, welcome to the show. Kevin, are you with us today?
Yeah, sure, I am. And I'm not in a Barbados, but I have a lot to talk about 15 minutes. But I posted some on the Goldwater.
Yes, I saw that.
And it's a little bit of diatribe. So whenever at your leisure, we can talk about, well, listen to it, Because I listened. Explaining things.
It's a story. Yeah. So Barbados is prime minister or chief executive, whatever you want to call her. She's what? All up in arms because.
So she's got these split teeth, which, you know, some men they really prefer when they're having oral sex.
Uh oh.
No, we're going to be fine, True. It'll be okay.
I wouldn't know anything about that. I thought oral sex is something that you're talking about with the sex there.
She's a disgraceful human being. We need to call her out. It's our job,
okay.
Right?
Okay. I'll leave it at that. Barbados is. They're in the Caribbean, right? $4.9 trillion. What's that all about? Just real brief thumbnail sketch.
Well, it goes up. Okay, so if you play the audio, it just goes up. I mean, I did this video because I do them over at the Goldwater every day. If you go there, you're going to see a news aggregate that, well, of course, is you know. That's Olivia. That is news that we are a true aggregate. Okay. We're trained to report news that shouldn't be reported, but at the same time, it's not bullshit. So excuse the language. Nonetheless, I looked into this and I got upset. So. I think it explains itself.
Okay, well, maybe I can put it on my laptop, but I can play it, or you can pipe it in.
Is Dom able to play the link?
I'm sure he will if he has it queued up, ready to go.
Dom, can we run it? It's only like, I think it's like 10 minutes or something.
Run it. It's do it. It's really good.
And there's Jim. Hey, Jim. Missed you, my friend. The last couple of weeks.
I'm here. It's not snowing here either. I'm hanging out on the Pacific Ocean here, but it's snowing north of me up in the Olympics.
Wow. Well, welcome to back to the show. You guys are traveling fools. I'm not at all. I'm just stuck here in the snow, but that's cool. So yeah, Dom, if you have that metal, go ahead and play a 10-minute clip. Let's listen to what the Goldwater on our friend Kevin has to say. I've listened to a few minutes of it, and it's good stuff as always. Go ahead. Not ready yet. So
we'll go. Is it blocked? That would be. I don't know. You guys, well, go to the Goldwater for our listeners. Just go to thegoldwater.com. It's I actually realized what was happening while I was doing. I do a report every day, and I realized what was happening during this report regarding a slave owner who happens to be the prime minister. Asking for trillions of dollars at a summit for bubble warming up, and she is taking pictures.
Murdoch for the Goldwater.
There it is.
There we go.
It's playing. Go.
Got to get into Mia Motley, who happens to be the Prime Minister of Barbados, getting jacked up again. She got jacked up after Black Lives Matter. Boy, she, man. Really worked that whole thing, and she was just heralded around the world as being the forefront of finding a way to get reparations for slavery. And apparently during the entire hubbub, because it ain't just about the environment that everybody was hanging out up in northern England there, you had your king, and he meets with her, and of course this guy is saying, oh no, it's just terrible what happened to black people, just so sorry, so terribly sorry, it was an awful thing, never should have happened. Well, Mia, she's a smart lady because she got her math skills. She figures that 4.9 trillion is a good number with a T, folks. The big T Her country is owed $4.9 trillion. Fresh call for reparations. Wow. Now let's take a look, Mia. Let's take a look at what she's figuring here. Let me see if we can get this straight. It's more than that. Citing calculations made in a report in the Brattle Group, which factors in wealth, GDP amassed by countries of enslaved Africa people, she has set out that the numbers are going up, folks. The UK owes now, just the UK, $24 trillion, motherfucker, right? There's your $24 trillion. That's just the UK. Spain, $17.1 trillion, bitch. France owes $9.2 trillion, and the Netherlands owes $4.86 trillion. Okay. Now, my question is, and this is just something, I actually went on to Bard, which is Google's, because I'm scratching my head on this one. I'm not making any, like, this isn't making any sense. Because this goes, I don't know much about, I've never been to Barbados, but I've been to islands around there, and I was kind of fascinated with the history of the Caribbean. I mean, to the point where I read James Michener's Caribbean, which is great. I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, man, no, wasn't Barbados, weren't they like where the slave code or something started? Hey, you know what? It turns out that, man, reading books, no matter how long ago, some of that stuff actually stays in your head. I found it. Barbados Slave Code of 1661, officially titled An Act for the Better Ordering of Governing the Negroes, was a law passed by the Parliament of Barbados to provide a legal basis for slavery in the English colony of Barbados. It is the first comprehensive slave act, and the code's preamble, which states that the law's purpose was to protect slaves as we do other men's goods and chattels, which is property, established that the black slaves would be treated as chattel property in the island's court. That means this is the first country that wrote the book on the concept of slaves being a human being, being a possession. Barbados, the government of Barbados, decided that they were going to do that. So naturally, when I asked Bard, knowing this, I said, hey, listen, give me an argument for Barbados's responsibility. I mean, what would Barbados like? They wrote the book on this, okay? This is where it started. Let's take a look into what happened after that. Historian Russell Menard says, since Barbados was the first English colony to write a comprehensive slave code, its code was especially influential, including Jamaica, the Carolinas, and the U.S., or the Americas back then, Georgia, Antigua, Virginia, Maryland, Mexico. Statutes created the status of chattel slave based on the code that was already written and enacted in Barbados. Now check this out. A little history here, folks. A little bit of history. What was especially interesting about this code was, I didn't know this. This is quoting directly from number 329 in the article of the 1688 Act, which is what we're talking about, directly what we're talking about. Quote, no person of the Hebrew nation residing at any seaport town on this island shall keep or employ any Negro or any slave for any use or services whatsoever. So no Jews owning slaves here, folks, only us Christians. Whoa. Wow, this is right up. I mean, like, man, this is super progressive. So this gets even better. Barbados, and I've got we can discuss this on the ship show. We'll go into the argument that Bard made, which is really kind of like, I was surprised that would even make the argument, because, but since we're talking about reparations, okay. This gets even better. Now, I cannot have been the first person to go and research this, because obviously, listen, if you're talking about a country having the responsibility for slaves, and we'll get into the, like, all of the detail of the code, like the punishment, I mean, it's brutal. Barbados is the one. And not only that, but Mia Motley, I mean, you know where I'm going with this. I researched her family, and guess whose parents own, and who's, I mean, they're big slave owners. Her family are slave owners. I've got a listing of three of, I can't believe, I'm sure, I tried to Google it, but of course it never came up, so I went to the, you can find them, they're databases where you can search for slave ownership, and sure enough, four of her relatives are slave owners. The most prominent one being a Richard Henry Motley from Barbados. And he had he's an enslaver or an owner. And the last record we've got on him is in 1836, not too long ago. That's not like 1600s. This is like, man, Richard Henry Motley. Her bloodline, Barbados, her ancestors were slave owners. She's telling everybody, and the king is looking, you know, and saying, yeah, we do. Hey, listen, I hate to put it up to you, but Barbados, if you need to ask anybody what country is responsible for slave ownership, I mean, like slavery, Barbados is where it's at. What the hell is Barbados getting money for, right? And who is she? I mean, the point is like, is she saying, calculating all these trillions, where is their liability? Has she calculated what Barbados owes? This woman, out of her head, she needs to be absolutely publicly humiliated. I mean, like, what this is typical progressive thinking. And I find it interesting that, hey, man, they really hated the Jews back then. Didn't want the Jews getting in on any of the action. No Jews. And boy, we hate them niggers. And I mean, you should see what's in this code. You should see what's in this code. Man, Barbados, I learned a lot about her family, and she's prime minister now. I learned a lot today about Barbados. Thank you. And I'd like anyone that I think I'm getting all primed and jacked up, ready to maybe do a debate with anyone that would care to, a serious debate on reparations, because I will certainly be citing this example. Again, do join us over on the Ship Show. That's Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Pacific. Links to listen or to watch are down below. God bless you and your family. This is Burdock for the Goldwater.
Burdock! Burdock, the Goldwater. Hey, good stuff. Listen, but, you know, we've got to be careful with a family show here. We're not going to be careful with the language. That's fine, but, you know, it's a recording. It wasn't live, so we're not being censored off. Deb, in your research on this, Kevin, there is a book called, and I'm quoting the title of the book, To Hell or Barbados, a book written by an Irish, Sean Callahan. You heard such a book? It's a rare book. It's on my shelves, my bookshelf. Have you ever heard of such a book?
You got to read it, Kevin. You won't. Then this will really make your blood boil, and you may use some really amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, it rings a bell. I mean, I love reading about everything around the 14 to 1600s in the Caribbean. So
let me give you the highlights, because there's this paper that's put out, and I pull it up in my, when you were bringing this up, I looked into my hard drive, and sure, here it is. Let me share this with you, because it's just the high points, and this will it's entitled Irish Slavery in America. The book is called To Hell or Barbados by Sean Callahan. Now, this is this is well documented with official, this is not mythology. You know, the Black Lives Matter, all of that has really concentrated to eradicate this whole, the factual history of the Irish slave trade. And you got to get a handle on this because, you mean slaves were white with the red hair? And they, follow this, guys. This is quite amazing. After the Battle of Kinsale, 1601, the English captured 30,000 military prisoners and thus created an official policy of banishment or transportation from the United Kingdom. Now, isn't it interesting that this Motley Crue, can I call her Motley Crue without having a problem? Motley's crew is making these allegations right there in front of King Charles. King, what a wonderful way. We got to discuss this. Oh, my heck. Because you cannot talk. The epicenter of this is Barbados. This is what's so funny. As you were playing that clip, it just hit me. And here it is. Okay. King James II encouraged selling the Irish as slaves to plantations and settlers in the New World colonies, beginning where? In the Caribbean, at the port of Barbados. This is where it began. The first recorded sale of Irish slaves was to a settlement in 1612. In 1625, an official proclamation ordered for Irish prisoners to get rounded up and sold as slaves to English planters. And you know, here's the kicker. They're mostly Jewish. Yeah. Mostly Jewish. You see, it became wrongful for the Jewish plantation owners to have black slaves because they were ordered primarily they were in the business of Irish slaves. So leave the black slaves from Africa to others. See, it's a preferential treatment. Do you understand who ran the slave trade of the blacks into Americas in the South? You better believe it, folks. Yes, Jews. The Jews ran it. They could not, there was no slave trading on Saturday, their Sabbath. It was exclusively a Jewish trade. Now, again, that goes back into that they needed, it was illegal for the Jewish planters to have black slaves because they were having the Irish. The Irish, you see, were the ones they were focusing on in that region. And so they wanted the black slaves to go to the Americas primarily. Now, follow this. So we had this.
I'm sorry, I got to interrupt, but I got to do it for a point of humor. I mean, God blessed us in a way that Jewish girls aren't really hot. You know, so
that's terrible.
Okay, so
you're going to get us all kicked off the air, man. What's but hey, it's a matter of opinion.
Well, we're only going to get kicked off the air if all of those stereotypes are true. But I disagree with you. I've met really gorgeous Jewish girls before.
Yes, I have too. So, I mean, but I don't know. We won't go there. Let's. So here we have this book has got the facts of the shipment orders and after the battle. I mean, they've documented. It's well known between 1629 and 1632. So that's a 3-year period. Irish men and women were sent to Guyana, Antigua, and Montserrat. By 1637, 69%. Now these were the three islands were sent to those from the base in Barbados, right? By 1637, approximately 69% of the population of Montserrat were Irish slaves. Get that. Negro slaves had to be purchased at the price of 20 to 50 pounds sterling, depending on how, you know, fit they were. But Irish slaves were captured and sold for the incredibly high price, 900 pounds of cotton. That's documented, folks. So there you are. You know how much 900 pounds of cotton is? About 4 pounds sterling, maybe. That's why you see no Negro slaves in Barbados. The Irish became the largest source of slaves for the English slave traders in the Caribbean. From 1641 to 1652, over 550,000 of those doggone red-haired Irish were killed by the English, and 300,000 more were sold as slaves. As more and more men were transported, leaving their wives and children behind, they too were also rounded up and sold as slaves. Irish women and their daughters were of lighter complexion than the black slaves and were considered much more valuable as domestic slaves. Now, you can say, I'm sorry, Miss Motley, you're not very attractive. I'm sorry.
I mean, she's got that gap in her teeth. We'll talk about that later, but I mean, I think she should be present right now.
I think she should, I don't know. She looks like she could be male to me. I don't think she's that feminine, but.
That's fine. You, we'll get into that later.
Oh, golly.
But this woman she is a disgrace. She is a disgrace to humanity. She is a disgrace to the island of Barbados. And they have no interest of, what kind of delusion are they running on other than the opposite game? And it's exactly that. It's the opposite game. And look, I have so much more information right now with everything regarding slave ownership in Barbados. I have, and like I said, I can't be the only person. I mean, I'm not, I didn't break this story. I don't think this is a breaking story I just looked. I'm sure somebody else found out, but what is being suppressed. I'm not taking credit for uncovering the fact that family are slave owners. But let's deal with it properly, and we need to do it publicly. And
you're having I can hardly hear you, Kevin. Your volume is way, way down for whatever reason.
Oh, I'm sorry. It needs to be in the form of public humiliation. We got to do it. We got to humiliate her in public with what we've got. And we've got, hey, listen, lads, we're locked and loaded. I know. We got, how many people listen to this show? Lock and load, folks. Put your target on Barbados. I mean, because of this George Floyd thing. That affected all of us.
that affected insurance. That was the largest
Floyd
riot.
From Barbados?
Say again?
Was George Floyd from Barbados? I thought he was from Texas.
George Floyd had nothing to do with Barbados, but the George Floyd yuppity yippity nonsense about a guy having an overdose being videoed while having an overdose.
I feel so sorry for that police officer that
I do. In fact, actually, he just got stabbed.
He got stabbed in prison. Did he survive?
He is. He's alive, but God knows where the feds are going to put him.
Thank God. And he was stabbed.
We're in a race war, my friend.
FBI informant. One more reason to shut down the cesspool.
You're so right.
Lousy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is you look, you know, even Wikipedia has a politically correct statement that this is all a myth, that the Irish were enslaved. They were just indentured servants. No. Talk about misinformation. Indentured servitude was quite common in the Americas. A servant would sell a period of time in exchange for passage over to America. They would receive housing, food, clothing, and a piece of land at the end of the term of service. That was common in America. That was a lot of that happened with people that were sponsored to come over. But the Irish, no, that didn't happen. There was no contract, none. From 1625, folks, to onward, the Irish were sold with one purpose as slaves. There were no indentured agreements, no protection, and no choice. They were captured and they were shackled and turned over to shippers to be sold for their profit. The profits were used were huge. Everyone in the slave trade from Ireland made a profit except for the Irish slaves. Now, why is this important? And I just keep harping back on this. Listen, you go back to the reasons and the whole thing is a battle against a bloodline. Okay? You look at the royal bloodline and then the Irish island, and you see it was targeted. It truly was. And so you don't you can't hear about this or whatnot, but the proof is so clear in this book in the footnotes. Now, let me just throw a few more numbers out at you, right? More Irish were sold as slaves in the American colonies from the Barbados epicenter from 1651 to 1660 than the entire total existing so-called free population of the American colonies. It's a fact. In the year 1652, Oliver Cromwell ordered the Irish were to be transferred overseas, all the numbers and of it are proofed in the ships that brought them over in slaves, in chains. Okay, it is what it is. How in the world can anybody, you know, rewrite history this way? That's what blows me away.
I can tell you what happened in Barbados. We're going to do a second series. Look for that on Monday, and that's going to go at 6 a.m. You'll see that at thegoldwater.com. All the research that I've done regarding Barbados and what her implications, her travel, her family history. It's something that you just have to eat, and you know you're going to just vomit. And it's going to be a rushing fuel of vomit coming out of your mouth going anywhere at any given time. It is the most disgusting concept of humanity that people have defined.
Well, so I guess I'll just say one more thing and leave it and then go from there. We're talking about 1600 to 1699. Now, after that, in the 1700s, there were no more Irish slaves because of what happened in the British Isles at that time. But from the year 1600 to 1699, more than triple, more Irish were sold as slaves than Africans. That's a fact. And you can try and, you know, march around and ignore it, but that is exactly what happened. Well, so
Jim, do you want to go to Barbados?
Are you Irish, Jim?
I'm half Irish. I'm mixed. I'm half Irish and half Norwegian.
Let's go.
That's why you're so upset about this, Kevin. You got Irish in your blood.
Yeah.
I'll admit, you know, maybe that's why Jim and I get along. We got some Irish, but I want to go to Barbados, and you know, the thing is, it's going to be expensive. That sucks. But I want to stay in a place where, you know, for $30 a night, and talk to people about the history, and talk to people about reparations. I really want to go there because I'm not there, you know, and I need to complete this story.
Well, complete the story, because you're Irish. You need to go out there and make reparations for the Irish in Barbados.
I think it's important to go to Barbados anyway, because it's getting chilly right now, and I bet you it's warmer there.
I'm fine with the chill. I don't need another tropical island. I need to go there for work. I need to get paid.
I'm sure they have really nice. Isn't that where that Captain Rum comes from?
No, Captain Morgan. No.
Trinidad?
Yeah, that comes. Yeah, everybody's got different rum down there, and you'll never experience the. If you really want good rum, you have to go to the Caribbean, and they make it so. And that's a good thing.
I really do like rum. I don't drink anymore, but I do like rum.
Jim, what you do is just take a dragon fruit and some pineapple juice. All you have to do is put a couple of, you know, jiggers of rum. I mean,
But
it's less alcohol than a beer, and it is the most nutritious thing. And it's so brilliant.
Good. I mean, it's rum, really. Yeah.
Well, how many jiggers of rum does it take to make Mia Motley look even remotely sexy?
When you get your passport, I will show you. You are welcome here. Hey, True. Listen, man. I you know what? We could be doing this show with you in front of me right now, and you could be looking out over the ocean. And you know, I'm in. I live in an apartment that cost me. I think. Well, they jacked the rent up. It's $400 a month.
Oh. Okay?
And I have a balcony. And you know what? We'll get you a separate room because, you know, listen, we're not, you know, gay that way. I mean.
That's so good.
You know, I'm at a point in my life where I don't want to explore. Let's,
you brought the subject up now. In what way are you gay?
In a way where, yeah, I mean, like, I might want to go fuck a tree.
Oh, careful.
You got to watch the naughtiness.
I'm going to wash your mouth out with Life Boy.
Okay.
Oh.
Right. I'll mute myself for a while. But no, I love women, and I think our job is to protect women.
You're right.
You know, that's our job in life.
You're right.
We go out, we hunt, and they take care of the fort. They take care of the fire. They make sure the fire is going. They take care of the kids. It's our job. It is our job. Even though I'm not married and I don't have kids, I still respect that role. I do way possible. Yeah, and I think that even in, you know, and I focus myself on Matthew 6 and the Bible as far as, you know, how I should praise the Lord. And that's self-spoken. Even mentioning Matthew 6 is kind of like one of those things where it's
a connection. What is Matthew 6? Tell me.
I'll read it.
True. Why don't? It would be better if True tells you.
I will tell you, Matthews. I don't have it memorized. I'm sorry. I'll probably get it wrong. Listen, let's shift gears a little bit, guys, shall we?
I'll clear it up. Every man has his own church. Okay, so, and people who, this is a part of the Bible which is very crucial. People who think that they are God are going straight to hell. So it's very clear in this. And he talks about Jesus. He talks about the person who steps up on a street corner. He may be forgiven, forgiving the word. But the person who never talks about their praise and their love of Jesus Christ will always be forgiven. That is my interpretation of Matthew 6.
That's
and I
close.
Pray, you know, and I practice, you know, the Ten Commandments as best I can. It's a church.
Or, yeah. He that exalted himself shall be abased or damned, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted or glorified. That's basically it. Okay, so let's. I wanted to really hit this hard and heavy, guys, if possible. We've got about 10 more, 15 more minutes in this hour, but the second hour for sure. My colleague and friend, Dr. Joseph Mercola, has had some real issues. So I just want to say out loud, give a shout out, because a lot of what my business is much in the same vein. I manufacture and sell individual liquid minerals that are to be supplied under the tongue sublingually. Now, in that form, I have to be really, really, really careful to not color outside the lines and make any type of claims whatsoever. Because I mean, I have been under the microscope of the FDA since I opened my doors. I just have to be very, very careful. So what's happened to Dr. Mercola? First of all, he was deplatformed as one of the top, if not one or two, super spreaders of disinformation on COVID. But now look what's happened. Let me play. He's come out. This may be banned from YouTube, but it's a good one. Just a minute long. Listen to what Dr. Joe McCullough says.
Review your voicemail. Remember, and I'm delighted to say that we're going to take this debate stateside, as it's not only here that banking services are being ripped away from controversial figures. Dr. Joe Mercola had his Chase bank accounts in the US taken away, as well as those of his CEO, CFO, and family members. And Dr. Mercola joins me now from Florida. Hi, Joe. Great to see you. Thank you for joining us. I'm interested to know, firstly, why these accounts were closed and what have the effects been on you and your colleagues?
Well, interestingly, we're also interested to find out and understand why they closed, because they refused to disclose that to us, even though after repeated requests, they have not given us any definitive answers. We can only speculate as to what those reasons are. And it's impacted our employees quite significantly. One of our CFO has a disabled husband who's requires 24/7 care. He's in the Philippines, and his bank account is intimately tied and connected with his ability to receive this care. So it's been an enormous hardship, and it's unfair for someone. You know, there is just no justification for this type of action that we can understand is fine.
You very much swam against the tide of public opinion during the pandemic, didn't you, Dr. Mercola? And presumably that must be partly why this decision has been taken.
Well, that's, I think, a pretty safe speculation. But yes, I was awarded the badge of honor of being the number one spreader of COVID misinformation in 2021 by the Biden administration. And the White House and the press secretaries and the NIH. So I was very pleased for that. We have Bobby Kennedy running for the president in 2024. He was also on the list. He was number two. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a high likelihood that they have something to do with it, especially in light of the fact that the federal government seems to be in collusion with the banks. And just recently, the large regional bank in the United States went belly up, and the federal government decided to transfer that banking assets to Chase. And you have to speculate and wonder, maybe it has something to do with coordinating efforts that the government wants. So we don't know. We have no proof. It's only pure speculation, but it's certainly a possibility.
Your tweet about this has been viewed more than about 10.5 million times. You're very popular on social media. But is this sort of travesty making the mainstream media in America at all? Or is it like here, until a week ago, it was solely the preserve of social media?
That's a great question. You know, I really can't comment accurately on that because I don't look at mainstream media. I've long realized and understood that the information they spread is just, it's a million doublespeak, and you can almost trust anything they're saying is the exact opposite of what the truth is. So I don't watch mainstream media. I will review the New York Times and the Washington Post just to make sure to understand what the narrative they're trying to push on the public. But other than that, you know, I just am not connected to that in any way, shape, or form.
So has your organization and the people who work for it been able to just simply go out and get new bank accounts? Is it just a little inconvenience, or has it really hit them hard?
Oh. Yeah, it's more than a little inconvenience. It's a major inconvenience. And I mean, the business is the business, and they've given us a month to transfer accounts. So, and they're in the process of doing it. It's just a lot of extra unnecessary work. And I can't speak to the specifics of what's going on with my CFO and her husband, but I'm hoping that it's not going to interfere and impair his ability to continue to receive care.
Do you have any form of recourse, Joe? Do you have any means of getting justice? I mean, here, Nigel Farage happens to be such a huge figure that he has a public voice. Whereas you as a physician, as I say, you're very popular on social media, but you probably don't have the hotline to the banks, well, or the news, national newspapers.
We've had many millions on social media, but as you know, as a result of the pandemic, they essentially deplatformed us. So most of our social media presence is really from my previous awareness by the public, and then other people that knew of me retweeted that message, so you know they were aware of what was going on. But the recourse we have is we filed a complaint with State Attorney General of Florida, and there's high likelihood that there will be some action on that front. And also, the state of Florida, where our business is and I live, has recently passed legislation forbidding this type of discrimination. So we're hoping that will play some impact and probably be escalating this to the governor. Governor Ron DeSantis.
Well, I was just going to say, you have probably the most sympathetic governor in America when it comes to this issue in Ron DeSantis. Have you contacted him about this yet?
I believe our staff has, yes.
Yeah.
But he's obviously in the middle of a busy campaign.
He's got quite a lot.
Yeah.
But do you have any idea whether you are an isolated case or how many others? Because here, what's happened is Nigel Farage has gone public with his story and has been inundated with thousands of people and organizations who've been victims of the same sort of cancel culture. Do you have any idea whether you are in a similar position there?
I don't know if it's as massive as it is over there with Nigel's case. I have heard some stories, but I don't know how pervasive it is. And I don't know what type of targeting they're implementing or what justification they're using. As I said, we've asked and requested the information. They just refused to provide us other than a nebulous generic statement that means absolutely nothing. They've refused to provide any specific detail.
Terrifying. Absolutely chilling. Dr. Joseph McCullough, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I think the work you've done has been phenomenal over the last couple of years. So I'm very happy to shine a light on your situation here.
That's from GBN, Great Britain News. It's a direct competition structure to the BBC, and of course it's not funded with so many pounds sterling that King Charles is going to have to actually transfer over to Mia Motley. Mia Motley.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Something I need to say here. Anyone that, and we're going to go through the second cycle because the first cycle worked, right? And part of getting through to being able to have a job, to be able to function in society, be able to get an airline ticket, to do anything. They've shut down everything. We've already seen that, especially where I live. But I'm so, and have been so upset for the last 3 years about it. I put AI on, and we discussed the concept, and this is not GPT-4. Okay? This is my own AI. And so we've discussed, what is the best solution? The best solution is to provide credentials, and have courts deny that these credentials are existent. And the other thing is to break the law and provide absolutely perfect credentials for anything that anybody wants to do, whatever they want to do, no matter what the government cares about. And if we can provide that, even though, shit, this is forgery, we
yep.
can at least give them a moment of pause.
Your mic is still a little bit low, but it's better. It's not too bad. But if
sorry about that. It dropped down. I was shaking my head.
Shaking your head. Let's we got just a few more minutes until the top of the hour. Hey, how about what's your latest on Hunter Biden's indictment? 9 charges, including 3 felonies.
He's going to get a couple paintings sold after that. You know what? Maybe he'll paint one from inside. Yeah.
Earlier today I read that he had like 17 years he was looking at in federal penitentiary, but now it's like over 40 for the crimes that he's going to have to face trial for. You know, if he's found guilty of those, they have mandatory minimum sentencing. His father would have to pardon him to get him out of jail.
Yeah, I mean, all we have to do is replace every powder with the baking soda and stay in Malibu all day long. I mean, that's his prison. That's the easiest way of doing it, is having him realize he is who his father is and the tremendous damage they've done to this country.
Well, he better do it. He better get him pardoned quick. Let's get him a fast-track conviction so we can get him pardoned, and that'll just be the end of it. Whatever, the microphone there, is just going in and out pretty badly, just for what it's worth. poor old Biden. Doggone it. He partied too hardy, didn't he? I mean, come on.
Well, he's gonna have to come up with some way to pay that tax, I think.
Some way. So the other part of the news that's kind of was a few days ago. Did you follow the Senate actually blocked the Ukraine funding bill? Oh, that isn't that kind of an interesting little thing that happened with Chuck Schumer voted no also. So just so he can bring the bill up at a later date, according to the Hill, right?
What was surprising because there were no Jews or blacks mentioned, so that's notable.
Oh, that was a good one. The White House originally requested Mr. Biden. I wonder how much of this was spent out to Hunter, but anyway, $105 billion in emergency supplemental national security funding. They requested this $105 billion to go to Ukraine in October, right? And we see that it's bundled, like you said, with money for Israel, Taiwan, and border security to appeal to Republicans, right? Now, what happened, the GOP majority House insisted on dealing with each issue and a separate appropriations bill. Don't lump them all together, right? Which the Democratic-dominated Senate refused. You all right? Isn't this just insanity? And here's an idea. Why not just put a couple hundred billion more and give aid to Mia Motley? Isn't it about the same level of insanity? Just a thought. Oh, is it racist to even say that? You know, how dare you say that about Miss Motley Crue?
Now, listen, just get to your heart, get to your inner core, and just want you to concentrate on hating black people.
I don't.
All right? Until we meet next week, I want you to concentrate on it.
I cannot.
Too. We talked about your breathing, okay? But work on that hate, okay? Breed the hate.
No, never. Hey.
I mean, come on. This is a commodity. I mean, hate is a commodity. And, you know, they can use it in the environment. They can use it anywhere. And we're so stupid that, like, everybody's just shocked. Oh, if you don't do, they can do the most ridiculous thing and say, oh. Society is going to hate you if you say anything against it. Well, God bless you, True, and I appreciate the support.
Well, how about, you know, here's crazy Vlad Zelensky, right? Sitting there, he's supposed to go talk to the Democratic-controlled Senate, right? But there was, this is Tuesday, there's, couldn't do it. Last minute snag. We'll talk about it at the top of the hour. What's Zelensky's snag? No, he didn't hit his penis on the piano. That's another story. We'll talk about that when we get back on. This is the story behind the story. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Be well.
It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow, Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Oh,
And we're back. Welcome to the second hour of tonight's Story Behind the Story. This is your host, Dr. A. Truat. The doctor is in. We have Kevin with us in the Philippine Islands, keeping the whole rising sun telling us what it's going to be like tomorrow. The sun's rising there. It's dark here in Utah. How can that possibly be? The earth is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour.
But you're all set. Everything's okay.
Everything's good. Promise.
No, I mean, man. Hey, wait. Let me describe to you. Holy hell. Wait. Let me stand up. Let's do this just for a second. I think we got enough battery here. Okay. Let me go out on the balcony. I'm going to describe to you what I see here. It's azure. I mean, that's kind of a French word for blue, just looking across the sea. And we've got these abandoned boats. People downstairs, oh, my God, everybody is coming here for Christmas. You know, I live in kind of a resort area. And the feeling is...
You got to speak into the mic. Speak into the mic.
Yeah, sorry, it dropped down. The feeling is incredible over here. And I want to describe this, okay, just for one second. We had major earthquakes last week, and it wasn't just one. It was several. And it kind of reminded you of who's in charge. And it reminds us to appreciate beauty and to appreciate family and to appreciate those who we trust and adore and to appreciate God. And this is, if you've ever been in a major earthquake, this is something that I am just astounded by. This is something, if I could paint, I would paint it. And that goes back to you, Chir.
Oh, awesome. It's what time of the day? They're about noonish? Or...
Yeah, we're at right at noon, so, and it looks like, oh, man, that's what really screwed things up. Okay, so when these earthquakes happened, we had a full moon, so the tide range was really big, and then it just so happened that the earthquakes happened at a point when it was going out at a higher range that everybody's normally... You know, it's like, you know, like this is the highest tide range that we've had in like 5 months. And it sucked way out to sea. We had an earthquake and everybody looks and they assume there's going to be a tsunami. So there was so much fear. There was so much fear. And so, I mean, God bless. I know we lost people, but God bless everyone who helped. You're talking about like, wasn't a small earthquake. I mean, not just one.
If it affected the tides that way, why didn't you have a tsunami? If it pulled the tides out, you...
It just didn't. I mean, it was something that would have happened anyway, and that caused more fear. So, you know, I mean, we had an exceptionally low tide on this island, and people were terrified. Because we felt, you know, I mean, holy hell. I'm telling you, I mean, this is the second strongest. I mean, I was in Northridge. But this, I mean, it was, wow. I mean, holy hell. And it wasn't just one, okay? And then you had one up in Manila. So,
this whole
region is settling.
Yeah. Well, there were fatalities. People, you know, did perish with that or
mudslides mostly. Yeah, it's always going to be mudslides. And when you have earthquakes over a long period of time, it's always going to rain at any portion on these islands. And when you shake things up and it rains, stuff is going to fall
and people will die. And that's, I mean, people died from mudslides, mostly here.
Well, here's some insight that I want to just also bring. What happened on Sunday, there was this, one of the United States destroyer, the warship, and multiple commercial vessels that were being guarded by the U.S. fleet there in the Red Sea were attacked. An air attack happened. Didn't say if there were ships destroyed, but there seemed to be the initial response of a couple of the commercial vessels were sunk. And what's, of course, the news media there are saying, well, it's absolutely the Yemen's Iran banks backed Houthi rebels did it all. There are two ships, right, attacked with this vessel. But this is not what the eyewitness reports are saying. The attacks were not by the Yemen forces. They had Stars of David on them. And this just brings back shades of the USS Liberty attack. And people listening to the show, probably a lot of them don't have a clue. I'm amazed at how many hundreds of people that I thought were educated. And I say, what about the USS Liberty when they talk about how we should blindly support Israel? They look at me like, what are you talking about? They have not ever heard. Thank you. Thank you, mainstream media. Thank you for just ignoring what happened there. But folks, check it out. Yeah, unless it's all been scrubed off the internet completely. The
sure,
USS
can we pass over to Jim a question?
Sure.
Because you haven't served in the armed forces. I haven't. He has. I mean,
I've lived in the armed forces.
Yeah, I have a question for Jim on this. I mean, I'm talking about carrier groups, and I know how much, you got to have, like, there is a massive amount. I know you were in the Army, but you work with Marines, you work with everybody. Why don't we just send a big fucking carrier, excuse the language, I'm sorry, but why don't we just send a carrier that contains a nuclear weapon that's going to destroy that hemisphere over to wherever we have a problem, and then
blow
we can
half
worry
of the,
about loading.
Put that half of the helium plane up?
Whatever you want. I mean, like, you design.
I don't think that's a good idea because the wind circles.
Nobody would want it, right?
Those big icebergs on the edge of the world, and then it circles back around, and we'd all be nuclearized.
Well, that's the whole point of nuclear warfare. So why don't we just put that over in the West Philippine Sea, and then we'll demand that the location of this nuclear bomb is, and hey, listen, I understand the location. I'm desperately trying to get over to the Spratly and Paracel Islands. I've met people who their families are being displaced by Chinese warships, and I want to talk to them. And I want to talk to them there. And I know that's dangerous behavior, and it's something that I want to do. I feel, but you know what? If I had all the money in the world, what I'd do is I'd take a boat over there with a nuclear, I mean, something so big it would destroy.
You don't need a boat for that. You don't need a boat for that. All you have to do is find a rocket company like Jeff Bezos has got one, Elon Musk has got one.
I don't trust those people.
Yeah, but you can buy the rocket from them. No, you can ship whatever you want up into space, and they can land it for you, too.
No, I mean, that's too complicated. You're talking about space. I'm talking about, do you know that the Spratly Islands, in World War I, we gifted this government, the Philippine Islands, and I'm not talking about anything I shouldn't, Jim. I'm talking about something that's known.
It was America in World War I anyway. That was
a historical fact, yeah. And so they grounded a World War I battleship on the Spratly Islands for the Filipinos to use because this is their land. And all China is saying is, it's like all they have to do in warfare they're at war with the world. Okay, we need to be very clear in understanding what their intentions are. They are not pacifists. They are consumers of the world. Okay, they are responsible in cohorts with our U.S. government for the last, you know, whatever the hell happened that almost killed me, and the solution that killed, you know, 4 million people and counting. We need to stop it. And we need to stop them in the West Philippine Sea. And I say that putting a nuclear weapon is going to be the best thing. And you know what? You want to play it? Put it on fucking excuse the language. Put it on TikTok. And I will play Cantor's theorem with a 3D matrix on a random number on how you can blow that up. And people will get worried.
You'll get millions of views.
You're damn straight we'll get attention on that if anyone can detonate that bomb. Let's do it.
I'm going to have to take a rain check, but I'm super interested in the results of this.
The result is nobody's going to be able to do it because there's multiple infinities. If you understand Cantor's theorem, you're not going to get there with the hardware. You're not going to get there in 80 years. Okay, so even with quantum computing, there is no way. Okay, I can guarantee that. But I will. You know, I think that would be a good thing for humanity. It's like, do you want to destroy this? Like, and people will take a moment of pause and say, why are you, like, why don't you just stay in your own country and do your own thing and build shit on your own without copying or you know, without doing this? China is the like, it is, how do people not recognize China as being probably one of the worst things that's ever happened. Oops.
Back You're here. Right. I think that we're going to have to use the transporter to get that nuclear material where it's got to go.
Yeah. Well, I'm upset about it. You know I am. I mean, we're fine.
I know you are. But, you know, and I know you don't have the ability to get the material to do that with and all of that, but gosh darn, you know, we have nothing that we can do except stomp our feet and scream.
That's not right. No, I mean, that, and in fact, actually, I disagree with you. That's not true. We're doing things that got us banned from Restream.
Yeah.
Like, don't you find that weird? We can't join.
I do, because, you know, they're and I don't think it was using the F bomb or the S bomb. No. You know.
Well, that's a data stream. They shouldn't have content related anything.
Yeah, well, they 20 years ago, we could sniff packets on our network and see what was going by. You don't think they can do that right now? The government used to pay every ISP in America to put a sniffer on their network. They don't have to do that anymore. Now they can do it at the tier one level.
You're absolutely right about that. In fact, I can confirm that Andy Banta, okay, who was a co-founder of Sun Microsystems and my boss at, and I'll go ahead and say it, Intercom in Reno, Nevada, and that was just a project so that he could get bandwidth out in desert, and he was putting up microwave towers to his property. Okay, the dude man was cool. He had his own machine shop. He was base, and one of the things that it was just so clear and key was, how are we going to tell people how important it is to keep their own information private? And nobody, you know what? I mean, I did it. My generation did it. And listen, we lost it after that. Everybody just got lazy.
Well, I don't know how to fix it. You know, and people are asking, well, what can we do now? And then that stupid documentary, and they made it look like I was leading the revolution or something. I said, no, I firmly believe that we need to keep speaking out and pointing our fingers and calling out the people that are doing things bad. But I don't want people to be like shooting each other in the United States of America over politics. You know,
well, first of all, we're not going to sell out, right? I mean, you're not going to sell out. Okay, so if that's not an option, then you have to provide options like, hey, listen, it's basically education, and we're going to have to weather the storm until the pendulum has, I mean, because the pendulum has gone so far over, there is no way. Okay, there is no way that Joe Biden is going to run. I will give you guys 5-1 odds right now. I don't know, $100. Joe Biden will not run. He is going to concede at the convention, which is coming up. So I'll give you 5-1 odds, $100. Any takers?
It's probably going to be Gavin Newsom that runs for the Democrats. There's a good chance that he'll be selected to be the next president, too. You know, he's run California poorly, you know, and that's like running a country pretty much. It's pretty big. So they're probably going to select him next.
True. What do you think? I mean, who are the overlords on this?
Well, it's not Biden, but I don't... I'm thinking it's going. That's what I kind of wanted to go into next. But you know, we have all these warnings, just like we've had before, leading up to you know the stay at home type of thing to still the vote. You're looking at what this new strain of monkeypox coming out of the Congo. They are getting crazy with this. The CDC, our wonderful CDC in Atlanta, just issued health alerts for U.S. doctors to watch out for this really crazy clade one. They call it the deadly strain of monkeypox called clade one. And I'm making this up now. This is just December 7th. A few days ago, I got this. They're just showing that it kills 1 in 10 and it's terrible and it's coming to hit America. This time,
can I interject there? That exactly coincided on the same date, same time. That was GMT that they released it with the 100-day cough. So if you look at 100-day cough, it coincides with what you're telling us about.
Yeah. So we look at what Johns Hopkins put out, Clade X, pandemic tabletop exercise. It did this before the event 201. This was. The Clade X was May 15th, 2018 by Johns Hopkins Center. They did the exercise again to do what? How to put in places, shelter in places, what to do with the pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. So Clade X was this tabletop exercise, and now they're wanting to do the same thing with Clade 1. Clade. They just don't get it. I just submit the purpose is to get the pandemic party started again in time for the next so-called election. I mean, I'm sorry, it's rigged. It's all rigged. It doesn't matter. It's going. Whoever they decide to put in will be put in. I'll give you 5-1 odds. I know I'll give you 50-1 odds. That's what really happens for whatever that's worth. Okay. But no takers on 5-1. I'm not going to take that. That's a sucker bet. I wouldn't take it if it was 50-1. Biden is done. Biden is done. He should go to prison with Hunter, and they should have a family party.
$50 to sleep with him for a night.
If he's in a separate room, I'll sleep with him.
No.
Who? Creepy Joe?
In the same blanket in a cottage in Colorado. How about that?
Creepy Joe or Hunter?
Both.
Oh, heavens.
$250.
No.
All right. See, you know, here's the thing. Listen, I know it might be weird. I think Donald Trump would probably be kind of like disgusting to, like, if you got into a position where you had to share a bed with any political leader, Donald Trump, you know, he's going to have his silk robes and all of that, but he's probably going to, like, I don't know, fart or something like that in the bed, right? Joe Biden and Hunter, now you've got a problem with safety and security. Like, would you? Okay, here's the question: would you trust? Let's say that your kids, you know, for whatever reason, you're out of town, something happens, a flight gets delayed, and the closest person that you know that's near your house, your kids are home, coming home from school, is Donald Trump. You call him and say, "Hey, Don, can you take a look at the kids until 7? You know, my flight's delayed." Would you do the same with Hunter or Joe Biden?
None of them. None of them are safe with my kids are not going to be safe with either one of them. That's the whole point. Because
I don't think a child would be molested with Donald Trump.
I do.
Really?
Because,
you think Donald Trump is a child molester?
No.
He doesn't register with me that way.
No, he just have his buddies over, like Epstein, who's known to be doing that. Listen, Trump is one of the top.
I mean, a lot of people have been associated with that, but I mean, I do take exception. This is something we disagree on. I don't think that conceptually Donald Trump wants to have sex with kids. I'm surprised that you came to that.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying his associates will. I'm saying his creepy little son could come in and walk. If it's just him alone, it's all irrelevant anyway.
Jared,
yeah.
That's a stepson.
Well,
his kids are child molesters. Who? Jared Kushner?
That's what I'm talking about. Let's change the subject, please. Let's not go there. We got a few more minutes left, but I want to get back on that as to why the USS Liberty has been, you know, hidden. Even they had the 55 year anniversary just the summer of 2022 in June 6th, and it was totally blocked from mainstream media, and yet it was a big thing. That's why I'm saying, why are people for the most part oblivious of what happened to the USS Liberty and what killed 34 American sailors and injured 174 more, and yet we call Israel our friends? This was absolutely no mistaken identity. Who they were attacking and why, and it has a direct correlation with what's going on now in Hamas. Flat out is. It's by means of deception, thou shalt wage war, is the whole Mossad motto. And well, the deception is rampant here. Just absolutely keeps it going. Call it that, you know, mainstream media calls it all, you know, anti-Israel hate, yada, yada, yada. But no, folks, this is called unfair advantage. Listen, Sunday there was, as no doubt, Israel launched its 10,000th airstrike in Gaza. 10,000 airstrikes. How many airstrikes has Gaza come against Israel?
I got some news regarding intelligence on the reason that we got Hamas and Israel even in the news. This happened 2 weeks before, and it's just taken a long time for people to just, wait a minute. There probably were people that were making money off of this, and people knew, and certainly it wasn't Mossad. Certainly didn't warn Israel. I thought Mossad was supposed to work for Israel. I'm absolutely mistaken about that right now, because what I can tell you, and if you go over to Jiffy.news or the Goldwater and just do a control F and just Hamas and just go down, you'll find links to articles where I verified the short market when people absolutely knew this was going to happen and they shorted the market. And it's possible to identify these people, but every attempt that we have made to identify all of the short sellers, when I say it's not like, oh, well, one person sold short, you are talking about something that has never happened in the history of the Israeli stock market exchange against their major bank being sold short 4 days before this happened. I'm trying to figure out who those people are, and you know what? That's probably something that you're never going to be able to do, or hell, might just get, I don't know, you might get killed doing it. But look at the links that we've got over at Jiffy News. Go to the Goldwater. We're going to be doing a story over there as well. Back to you, Drew.
Thanks for that. Yeah, so 10,000 airstrikes. This is as of Sunday. So let's just kind of recap. People have kind of lost track a little bit of this, and I just want to set the record straight. This all started on October 7th, right? Do the math. I mean, it's supposed to just be kind of a few strikes. October 7th? Yeah, oh, there's a brokered peace ceasefire for a while. And, of course, Hamas would not release the female hostages kidnapped, right? Well, Hamas is Israel, is Mossad. So, of course, it was going to fail. Of course, it's going to fail. So, they resume. Now, this is pretty doggone well documented. 700 plus people killed in the past 24 hours since Sunday, December 3rd. 700. And on it goes, keeps going on and on. When will it end? Please stop it. You know, maybe by Christmas. No. Here's the EU officially warning, primarily in the UK and also, of course, into France and Britain or and Germany. I'm sorry. They put out a really, really strong warning of Christmas terror attacks. Right? Yeah. The report was, quote, huge risk of terrorist attacks over the Christmas holiday from 23rd of December on to, you know, the first of the year. Why? Well, it's because of the war we're talking about. Iran is going to attack the EU. The EU Home Affairs Commissioner, Eva Johansson, right? And this is a Filipino story. A German-Filipino tourist was fatally stabbed in Paris. The suspect was a 26-year-old Frenchman who comes from an Iranian family, right? He's Iranian background, said to have made reference to the Islamic State, IS, CIA, ISIS group, right? Islamic State, ISIS, completely linked to CIA. The quote, Home Affairs Commissioner Johansson said, quote, "With the war between Israel and Hamas and the polarization it causes in our society, and with the upcoming holiday season, there is a huge risk of major terrorist attacks in the European Union. That was just Tuesday. And that was, there was going to be more meetings in Brussels. Interior minister, does this smell at all like another false flag waiting to happen?
Yes.
I think it most definitely does. We'll see. We'll see. But
I think we need to get universities, like the elite. Well, obviously funding for them. I mean, they can do whatever they want, and they've got so many billions and billions of dollars. Look at Harvard and all of it. I mean, like, they are institutions. They get more money than small countries, and yet they do, like, look at what they produce. They're supposed to be producing the best and brightest, and now people are there are law firms that aren't hiring people because you graduated from Harvard or Stanford or Yale. They have gone way overboard. I think that they need to decide to go elsewhere. Okay? And those institutions will crumble. We should keep up the buildings because they're historical, but I don't think we should be sending anyone to those buildings for education. What are your thoughts?
Well, for sure. I mean, look at, golly. I keep going back to President Eisenhower's last televised address where he said, beware of the military-industrial complex. And the funding that goes in from that complex to universities on the dole. And yeah, why did they need all this money for military industrial complex research while they're sticking people for massive debt to pay for the privilege of coming and learning about how to be a really good model citizen? See, it's, I don't know.
Why not send a bunch of vets with PTSD, okay? I mean, if you want a good program, there are a ton of vets with PTSD. And maybe they, you know, listen, why not send them over to a couple of different places in my neck of the woods where everybody's friendly, they like Americans, they're super hot chicks, okay? I mean, it's really easy to get laid here. And you can shoot guns all day and get paid for it. I think that would be a great job. You know, and to make sure that people are taking care of their health, and you've got a really beautiful woman having sex with you every day while you can shoot guns. What, I mean, who wouldn't want that? I mean, I'm serious.
Well,
that's I mean, that's a program that I think should be introduced. I know our friend Orlando is, I mean, he's running for state. In Colorado district, Jim, remind me, it's Riverside. What district Orlando is running in?
It's California. It's District 63, Riverside and Corona. And his name's Orlando Manguia. And he is fully qualified.
Eminently qualified. He's a Marine vet, 20 years.
It's a shoo-in. And, you know, he runs an agricultural business there, and he's a 20-year Marine Corps veteran, and he's a decorated combat veteran, and he's smart, and he does a lot of good things, and he's going to be a great assemblyman and represent the people of Riverside and Corona, and I'm really proud to know him. He's a good guy.
Well, I bet you are.
I'm...
Hey, Kevin, did you hear this story about the Nevada grand jury? Nevada Attorney General Aaron Ford. Did you hear about what's gone on there? As you know, on
sublip. Let me know more.
Yeah, he grand jury. He convened Nevada Attorney General Aaron Ford. He's unsealed felony indictments against six Nevada election officials who served as alternate electors during the 2020 election, right? Well, Chairman of the Nevada Republican Party, Michael McDonald, the Vice Chair, Jesse Law, the GOP Chair for Nevada, Clark County, Jim Hindle III, and Jim DeGraffenried, Sean Meehan, and Eileen Rice have all been indicted on felony charges. That's pretty big news.
Yeah, and the thing is like they're not even getting to the biggest news here. I mean, the biggest news, Washington. I mean, Vegas is. I'm trying not to use expletives. It's corrupt, but Washoe County was. I mean, we had gambling and everything, and there's, you know, but Northern Nevada had. I mean, is a community. Okay, that, and people need to understand that people have been there for centuries. Kit Carson, okay, and to have a bunch of Californians come in and screw the Washoe County elections is going to be bigger news. And I am grateful to hear what you just told me, but the big news is that they've been using Washoe County as a test, and most people supposedly legally voted in Washoe County elections, most of that can be contested. They're only doing it for tax reasons, and they have to spend more than half their time in our great county and state. So that, you know, it doesn't work. And I hope that this is a precursor for us to realize that even that the vote in 2016 in Washoe County was way off. I mean, Trump didn't win Washoe County, and nobody could understand why. I mean, I was there that night. That's where I celebrated the election, and nobody could understand why. And now I'm beginning to. And you're just talking about part of it.
Right. Well, we're talking about, it's not just in Clark County. Clark County, Jim Hindle just happened to be there, but the others are in Washoe County, and it's Nevada State Republican Party, Michael McDonald. Look at this.
Oh, yeah.
They were indicted with a Category C felony of what? Offering a false instrument for filing, and a Category D felony for uttering a forged instrument. Now, first charge, 5 years in prison, plus a fine of $10,000. Second felony, sentence of 4 years and a fine of $5,000. It could be all together. But isn't it interesting that finally just now, 3 years, almost 4 years, they're just getting around to filing, you know, figuring these charges out?
It's probably a statute of limitations, right?
No, it's not that. It just, you know, I think it's just takes time to have the wheels of justice grind. It just grinds pretty slowly. But look what happened in, again, the other key swing states, Michigan and Georgia, exactly the same charges against those that served as, quote, alternate electors. And the lawsuits, recounts, many people were indicted in these key swing states. See, I mean, those who say there was not a stolen election, I mean, really? How can the media keep, mainstream just keep marching to this broken record?
The state of Texas actually sued Pfizer, and I think the state of Texas is actually going to sue regarding elections. Now, of course, the state of Arizona can't. The state of Arizona has every right because we caught them. My God, I mean, you've seen so much evidence. I mean, Maricopa County. I mean, Jim's son. Jim, do you want to chime in on this? What are your feelings about your son having, like, I watched him lose.
My son got a really, he knocked on everybody's door in his whole district. And, you know, and the winner did not even go to the district. But That's not the big problem in Arizona. The big problem with Arizona is all of the people in law enforcement and judges and the top politicians are all being paid for by the cartel now. So the population of Arizona is totally at their mercy. They have no say in their government now. And whereas most of the people in Arizona are conservative, and most of them are Christian, mind you, and anti-abortion and all of that, that's most of the state. But they have no say in their politics because there's no way to get those people out because they have bought every level. There's no checks and balances left. And it's all paid for by the cartel.
Yeah, I mean, and so we're supposed to go to work for those guys? I mean, to make a living? What's the deal?
Well, Arizona's a dangerous place because of what's going on there. And, you know, it's a powder keg, too. And because the people that live there know what's going on, but they don't have any solution for it. You know, it's a bad situation.
Well, I just got this coming in on my text. One of our listeners sent in that warned. I've been warned. Okay, guys, we've dropped too many F-bombs on the show. I've been warned that that's not the bad problem. I'm in trouble. I've just been told. I just broke the law. I'm going to be censored, I think it's a tongue in cheek, of course. But listen,
who is this from? True, who did you give me the IP? Give me the routing. Give me everything on this. Okay, I want to find out who this
is.
It's a listener
that, and it's just tongue in cheek. Don't take this. But he's bringing this out. This is what I want to get at. The House passed a bill. We just broke the law. And this is what I want to focus on here. As of Tuesday, the House passed a resolution that now says, quote, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism, and we can be arrested by the thought police. Now, follow this. The resolution, it's a binding resolution, condemning anti-Semitism, passed in a vote of 314 abstaining and 19 nays. Only 13 Democrats and one Republican voted against the legislation. While 19 Democrats voted present in protest of what they said is a line buried in the bill that explicitly claims anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Now, what does this mean? You cannot any way, shape, and form, according to this resolution, condemn the state of Israel for anything that they do. I just talked about the 10,000th bomb sortie against a neighboring country with no bombs coming to them. Oh, that's anti-Semitism. Did you understand that? I am flat out in trouble to be arrested as thought police. Clearly and firmly, they made it clear. And this is a Republican-drafted resolution.
But bills and resolutions, you can't get arrested for that. It's got to be act.
but that's the whole tongue-in-cheek point, is what I'm trying to get at.
I'm getting on the tongue-in-cheek, okay? There are plenty of reasons to hate Jews. I mean,
no, don't get us in trouble.
Lock them in the gas chambers.
Anti-Zionism, folks, is a political. Zionism is a political movement. It's all there is to it. It's not anti-Semitism against the people. So when I talk about what's going, why is Israel, aka Zionism, given a free pass, no matter what they do or say, and again, this is one of my biggest beef against Donald Trump. Boy, he just the Republicans got to, oh, we got to support Israel, 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 no matter what. Please, when you see what happened, I have a number of people that I've interviewed over the decades I've been on the radio with this that are survivors of the USS Liberty, and they still don't get a voice. No matter what they do, it's ignored, and that is criminal. Because the people need to know what happened. They need to know because it hasn't changed. It's still their blind eyes, and they're leading us right into World War III by design, folks. That's the reality. Zionism is real as far as fomenting these world wars. That's what's moved it. Make no mistake. It's that group of people, and they're not necessarily Jewish. Zionism is not exclusively Jewish. It's largely Mormon, too. Do you know that? Zionism is huge Mormon structures. So, just saying, how they blur the lines.
True. Jumping in here, I mean, this goes back to the story, and I'll just tell it quickly again. My friend Ben, and I don't think he was Jewish. I wouldn't know. But this was a guy in college that just everything bad happened around him. I mean, he was a nice guy. I mean, you really, like, he was a really nice guy. But if you loaned him your car or you gave him like a lighter, or this is not a joke. It was like if you went and played racquetball with him, you would end up injured. You would end up, everything around him goes wrong. And I feel sorry for the guy, but you have to come to a point where you say, hey, listen, man, I'm not going on superstition, but I don't want him at my party. Okay. I don't want him. If he calls me up and asks me for something, I better expect that it's going to get broken. And that's what I view the state of Israel as.
Well, I plead guilty for being a little bit anti-Semitic when I told the truth that it was Jewish slave traders that was responsible. Hey, you know, how about this?
They were banned in Barbados.
Yeah. How about this, Mia? Why don't you go to the Knesset in Israel? Because it was the Jews who enslaved your people. How about that? That's an interesting novel thought, isn't it?
You know what? And we're going to get into, I'm going to do a second part on Monday, following up on the Barbados stuff, because everything that I learned from AI, because that's a true conundrum. They're promoting reparations, but the bot is really, you know, in a spot right now where I just need to report on the results of it, which is that the conclusion, I can tell you, it's not a spoiler. I mean, people are going to be in it for the information. Is that Barbados should be the first country to pay reparations if reparations were ever due.
Well, that's absolutely makes sense based on the history. There's a great book put out. It's called The Columbus Affair. It's a novel. Fantastically well-researched book by author Steve Barry, and I suggest, you know, folks, it's a great read. It really, really is amazing. The author, and I'm a big fan of all of his books, but this one in particular delves into the fascinating history of Jamaica, man, and the incredible history of Judaism in the early years of that country. For instance, fact, not fiction, who the heck was Colon Columbus? Do you realize he's Jewish? Do you realize that he had to leave Europe in 1492 because of the banksters that were so this is the reason why they're not.
So you're saying Christopher Columbus was Jewish?
That's exactly what this Steve Berry's off. I'm not saying it. The historical novel links it, and he said the evidence is absolutely incredible that he didn't come. The historical narrative is totally twisted. That he was not, and I repeat, not begging for support.
Well, the
from
first thing he did,
Ferdinand. From Isabella and Ferdinand, he didn't come to them for that. He came for them to know that he's leaving with a bunch of Jewish people that were being ousted. They had to leave in 1492. So where did they go? Where did
Santa
they
Domingo,
sail to?
I can tell you.
Yeah. Into the
Caribbean. And I've been there. And yeah. I spent a lot of time in the Dominican Republic. And yeah, he went to Santo Domingo.
So look
and
at all of the.
I find it curious that the first thing that he would do as a Jewish man is to build a church with a cross.
Ah, this is called crypto-Judaism. See, who do you think the Jesuits are? If you research the Jesuit order and Ignatius Loyola under the sign of the cross conquered, no, they're cryptos. They are
okay,
not.
Okay, let's fire off on Magellan. Okay, I mean, because a similar thing. So he came over here where I am, very, very close, in fact, in eyeshot of me right now. I can look.
Let's finish up the topic we're talking about. Let's not jump to Magellan.
Okay.
The point being, it's the historical facts of all these Jewish Star of David 16th century, 1500s, massive Jewish cemeteries there in Jamaica and even into all through the Caribbean. This was a Jewish stronghold, which links us back to what we talked about with Mia and the really who's behind the entire slave trade coming out of here. This is what Steve Berry in his book, The Columbus Affair, delves into. Because it's kind of amazing.
I mean, the interesting part is that Barbados specifically, and in the code that we played the video, but you guys can rewind, and there's a lot of information there. Go to thegoldwater.com, replay the video. Mm-hmm. I'm quoting directly. They are banning Jews from slaving, from owning slaves. So, I mean, this is a curious topic. It certainly is.
Well, again, it goes back to who were the slave traders at that point. And that, do your own homework on that. And it's not being anti-Semitic to say that at least into the 1700s, maybe not in the 1600s, which was proven to be mostly, again, British, Irish slaves in that Bernacke of the Woods. It's just fact. But so by the 1700s and into that, the next century brought a lot of Africans, yes. But who was the one shipping them? Who was the one responsible for that? Who were the ones? It is a Jewish, absolutely Jewish trade, period. And I don't care what people get upset about hearing that. Do your own homework on that. It's a fact. The slave auctions in the Deep South were all run by Jewish clearinghouses, banks.
You know, I'll tell you what, Drew, that might be because why would you specifically in the codify, I mean, the first code regarding this, and I describe this regarding everything in Barbados, why would you specifically say that the Jews are not allowed? That it's so out of place. I mean, what you're doing is codifying that a human being is property, that it's under government ownership. That's the mm-hmm. first time it's happened in history. And they specifically state that Jews are not allowed to do it. It is really out of place. So I'm not arguing against you on this. I'm thinking that maybe they had good cause to know that that's, you know, like we're not going to do what the Jews are doing.
That's exactly what I'm getting at with this. Exactly. So why would they single out that religious sect? It's supposed to be religious, but they're really, it's more of a genetic thing too. Going back to the Rhodonites, it's all Rhodonite merchants. And boy, the Rhodonites brought slaves of all nations. We're out of time, guys. Interesting discussion. Go to the Goldwater. Good stuff there. James, thanks so much for joining in this week. We missed you, man. Be well, be safe, and we'll talk next week. Good night.
Good night.
Godspeed.
Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the